Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.
The first reading this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms, specifically Psalm number 8. Please join reading Psalm 8 responsively. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. You made your glory higher than heaven. From the mouths of nursing babies, you have laid a foundation because of your foes in order to stop vengeful enemies. When I look up at your skies, at what your fingers made, the moon and the stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you pay attention to them? You've made them only slightly less than divine, crowning them with glory and grandeur. You've let them rule over your handiwork, putting everything under their feet, all sheep and all cattle, the wild animals too, the birds in the sky, the fish in the ocean, everything that travels the pathways of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth.
Our second scripture reading today, technically third scripture reading, comes to us from the opening passages of scripture, Genesis chapter 1. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. God said, "Let the waters under the sky come together in one place so that the dry land can appear." And that's what happened. God named the dry land earth, and he named the gathered waters seas. God saw how good it was. God said, "Let the earth grow plant life, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind throughout the earth." And that's what happened. God said, "Let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife." And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the crawling things on the earth." God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." Then God said, "I now give to you all the plants of the earth that yield seed and all the trees whose fruit produce the seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food." And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made. It was supremely good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Allow us to be transformed more and more into your likeness. Amen. The scriptures that we've chosen to get us started this week in our series, Seeds of Faith Created for Growth, are based on the parable of the sower. They proclaim the biblical foundations of God's sovereignty, God's majesty in creating all things. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea. God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and so light appeared. God said, "Let the waters under the sky come together," and that's what happened. God said, "Let the earth produce every kind of living thing," and that's what happened. Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us, so they may take charge of all things. God created humanity in God's own image, in the divine image. God created them. Male and female, God created them. And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made, and it was supremely good. We are created in God's image. Many, many years growing up, I would look up at a similar stained glass window that we had in the Methodist church that I grew up in. And I would see Jesus kneeling there, and I would think, that is God, and that is the image of God. And part of me thought I needed to have long hair, which my mom said, absolutely not. And that is not the image of God here in this text. It's not a physical image. It's a characteristic image of being together in community. The psalmist understood that. The psalmist responded, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout all the earth. You made your glory higher than the heaven. When I look up all that you've made, who am I? Who are we as human beings? Mere mortals. You've made us slightly less than divine. You've let us rule over everything." God's sovereignty is important. Yes, we are to rule over everything, but not in the manner of lording it over them oppressively. It's more being good stewards, caring for a garden, cultivating, getting rid of the weeds and the thorns, or sometimes realizing, as Jesus taught in some of his parables, the wheat and the weeds are growing together. Don't pull them apart. Wait until harvest, and then we can separate. We are to be caretakers of all of creation. God's sovereignty. That is an essential tenet of the Reformed faith. It's woven throughout all of our Reformed heritage. God's sovereignty. Without realizing it, that aspect, that thread of God's sovereignty has slowly been pulled apart in many parts of our culture. It's been replaced with a similar-looking man-made material. And we talk about God's sovereignty, but the reality doesn't match up with the words. That reality is man-made sovereignty, that human beings are in control. So we're just saying, we've figured out how to split the atom. It can be for destruction, or it can be for great positive things. But we have put ourselves in control of so much. Far too many Christians here in the West still claim God's sovereignty as part of our faith. And that is good, but a stranger meeting those same Christians on any other day of the week than Sunday, would they really be able to see God's sovereignty at work? Would they know that they are Christians by their love? By the way that they live out their life? No, I'm guilty of many times, but that is not the case. We are human. We need to take note of our habits, our skills, our disposition of character, and to say, how does that match up with the image of God? Simply gathering together to praise God, to worship God, that's good, but we need to do something more. We need to allow our lives to be transformed so that we become more and more like God. Key element of the parable of the sower is the soil. The soil of our life might also be called the habitus of our life. Maybe a new word for some. Within sociology, habitus is the way that people perceive and respond to the social world around us, the social world that we inhabit, the way that our habits, our skills, and our character are developed, and the way that over time they begin to organize the world that we live in. That's the habitus of our world. Now, an oversimplified example of habitus might be Midwest nice. That's particular to the Midwest. Midwest nice driver. Now imagine a Midwest nice driver in some big city in Florida or any other highly populated urban setting. You're going to be a little bit different. Several years ago, a friend of mine was vacationing down in Florida with his wife, and while he was waiting for his wife, doing something, I forget what exactly, he did that, you know, good small-town Midwest thing. He just sat and watched traffic go through an intersection. Now, he's kind of like me. He's a car guy. He likes watching cars, and there are plenty of those, but he counted an average of about 10 cars going through every red light before they stopped. He was just kind of baffled. It seems the habitus of those Florida drivers seem to be that they should go through a red light as long as there's less than 5 feet ahead of them to the next car, and you have at least 5 or 10 cars that can get through there, and then the red light really seems to take effect. Now, what happens at Midwest? Nice? Oh, no, you go first. Oh, go ahead. Oh, no. Oh, thank you. Charlie Behrens has a lot of great videos, examples of this Midwest nice. A Midwest nice driver like that in a busy urban intersection, they're never going to get through, are they? They're going to be stuck there until somebody behind them maybe pushes them through or comes up and says, scoot over, I'll get you going. And then what happens when you get through that busy intersection? All of a sudden you're on 7 lanes of freeway, and where do I go? And I want to go back home. In many ways, that Midwest driver attempting to get through a busy intersection, navigating heavy traffic, they're out of their comfort zone. That's a lot like the church today. There are many good church folk who, like that driver, want to just curl up in the fetal position. I want to go home. Get me out of this. We want to go back. Go back to the way that it used to be, and oh, when church was so vibrant and this and that, and we lose sight of the fact that that short history is actually an anomaly, a blip in the large timeline of all of history. The American baby boom generation of churches thriving and growing and popping up all over the place has only happened once throughout history. And it probably won't happen again, definitely not in our lifetime. So we can't just go back to our comfortable way of living. We have to figure out how to get through these intersections, how to deal with the heavy traffic. And that gets hard. Because just like that Midwest nice driver wanting to come back to their hometown, when they come back, it's not the way that it used to be. Life has changed. The entire modern West has developed, I'll put that in quotes, however we want to say whether it has developed or not, it's developed rapidly for better or worse. The world that we now find ourselves in is very different from much of the world that any of us have ever encountered or know anything about. The soil of our life, in reality, has been leached of many biblical nutrients such as God's sovereignty and God's grace, pillars of our Reformed faith. The soil of our modern life has also become hardened under the marching feet of Christian progress and institutions being built up in brick and mortar, and we could cast seeds all day on this beautiful tile floor, and they'd never sprout. In many ways, that is like the modern Christian church. Dr. Alan Roxburgh has written volumes about the impacts of the church and from the changing habitus of our modern Western culture. Throughout human history, he says the expression of the sacred other has been translated into the habitus, the way that we perceive everything around us, of most cultures, and specifically all of those cultures that we claim to be part of our DNA here in America. Until the emergence of modernity. Prior to the modern West, cultures were shaped by some source of authority outside of, beyond themselves. The world we now live in has basically removed the sacred transcendence as the primary basis of our culture. You've heard me preach on this in other sermons. Authority and tradition are replaced by values whose sources are individual autonomy, self-making. Values are not attached to anything other than the particular ways that groups happen to form their personal and social relationships at a particular moment in a particular historical context. We church hop and choose which church we like because it fits us. A social world is created that is self-referential, self-legitimizing. This is a world unprecedented in human history. The transcendent has been thrown on the dust heap of history, turned into an aesthetic, an appreciation for the past, an emotional undergirding, possibly, a beautiful spiritual experience for those who need such things. Christian imagination, how we see the world around us, how we imagine our life, how we perceive it. Christian imagination has to do with a completely different order of things. An authority, tradition, a way of life rooted in God's presence in the world. Alan writes that the difficult vocation before the churches is not in a focus on its own reforming or renewing, but on a refounding. Not a getting rid of the old and bringing something new, but refounding from within by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We have a need to rediscover the church's true identity. So who are we? Who are we as Presbyterians? What does it mean to be Presbyterian? What does it mean to be Christian in today's world? Who are we as Christians? How do we live our lives? What makes Presbyterian Christian life different from any other Christian life? Who should we be? Why? What difference might that make? These are all questions about our identity as the church, not as individuals. Now, the fancy theological term for the church's identity is ecclesiology, study of the church, ecclesiology. Our ecclesiology is who we are, who we serve. A critically important aspect of good ecclesiology is to make sure that our identity is shaped by Scripture, by God's Word, not by the culture around us. Another important aspect of good ecclesiology is to be aware of the intersections of Scripture and culture. Be able to pause and to think deeply. What is the habitus of these intersections between Scripture and culture? How do we perceive and respond to the world around us? What role does Scripture play in how we perceive and respond to the world around us? How is the Holy Spirit at work through the living Word of God to transform us, I warned you last week I was going to have a lot more questions than answers. This all begins with an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. That is where we begin to gather together and come up with answers. A good practice for breaking up the hard soil of our lives, to infuse it with that necessary biblical nutrients so that our faith can grow and produce great fruit, is through regularly reading Scripture. I encourage you, as a practice that will shape how you perceive the world around you, is to take a passage of Scripture and read it over and over, regularly. Psalm 8 would be a wonderful passage from today's worship. Take the bulletin home. Open it up in other translations. Read Psalm 8 every day, maybe more than once a day, maybe when you wake up, when you take a lunch break, before you go to bed. Read Psalm 8 over and over. Not for the technical differences and what does this word mean in that word? That's part of it, but more so to simply dwell in the word and allow the word to dwell richly within us. That is when we begin to see things from a different perspective, from God's perspective. And we begin to live out, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Not just my little selfish world, but all of Fond du Lac, all of the United States, all of North America, all of the entire cosmos. The soil of our life will become more fertile, allowing the seeds of faith that have been planted, that are being planted, to grow more and more. Our identity, who we are as Christians, who we are as the church universal, who we are as Presbyterians gathered together in this place at this time, ministering to one another, that identity is going to take on a new reality. The reality of our identity will be shaped by the creative sower, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in community, redeeming, recreating all things through the power of the cross, the intersection of the divine and the human, where God's transcendence is most real. So who are you? Who do you want to be? Who are we? Who do we want to be? Whose are we? And who does God want us to be? We are each different, each unique creations. Just look around and you can see how creative God is. Sometimes how humorously creative. Sometimes amazingly creative. When we get to know one another, really, truly get to know one another beyond just those superficial differences, to see what is the soil of your life? Out of what have we each grown? We each have experiences in our life that have sometimes choked out a lot of growth, and other times have actually thrust us into a spot where we have grown extremely fast. But we all grow and mature differently. Some of us are intended to be the grass, others beautiful flowers, others crops for feeding others. In order to figure this out, we need to share stories with one another. I encourage you to ponder. Where in your life have you experienced God's sovereignty and grace at work in unexpected ways? For me to look back and to know that my father, as a young man, plowing the fields, looking around at the beauty of creation, seeing the changing seasons, prayed, "Father, allow my kids to know you through this farm." Little did he know that it was through the loss of that farm in the crash of the 1980s that it put me out of my comfort zone into another community during my senior year of high school, caused me to turn my back to God and for God to wrap loving arms around me through other Christians and to show me what true love is all about and who God truly is. We each have these stories. How have you encountered new resurrection life as a result of seeds that maybe were scattered a long time ago? How has Scripture impacted your life? How has Scripture changed how you wake up each day? How you perceive all of the different interactions that are placed before you? How has God's Word helped you to not react to situations, but to respond with a Christian perspective? These are stories that we'll be sharing with one another. I invite you, if you have those stories, share them during fellowship time. If you'd like to share them with the congregation, with the community at large, let me know. We need to tell the story of the gospel to one another. May we commit to gathering together to share the stories of God's majesty lived out in our lives. And may our shared stories become the seeds of mighty faith scattered across all types of human soil. In the name of the creative sower, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.